Today on Real Radio.
Think about it. God working to save you. That's why you and I trying to work our way into heaven is an abomination to God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series of lessons that commemorate what is arguably the most pivotal and significant point in history, Passion Week. We're talking about the days leading up to the arrest of Jesus of Nazareth, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Great Exchange.
Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 19. Follow along with me as I'll read and you meditate on these words. John 19, looking at verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, that is, brutally beat him. A scourging brought the victim to nearly death. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. By the way, the word here means with open-palmed hands, not fist, but open-palmed. It's actually worse. And Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." It's a radical statement. The word means gaze upon. The word demands surprise. Behold, it means be surprised at his appearance. In other words, Jesus is brutally beaten. Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law. According to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." That is a profound Jewish statement. He made himself to be God in human flesh. That's what it means. Verse 8 continues, "Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was all the more afraid. And he went again to the praetorium and said to Jesus, 'Where are you from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, 'Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?' And Jesus answered and said, 'You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin.' From then on, Pilate sought to release him, to release Jesus. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar.' And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.' But they cried out, 'Away with him! Crucify him!' And Pilate said to them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' And the chief priest answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.' Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away." Verse 17. "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." You know, we say in the Latin Vulgate, Calvary. You're at Calvary Chapel tonight. You're at Skull Chapel. That's what this means. Tonight, the place of the skull, where they crucified him and two others with him, and one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priest and of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. And they said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" Therefore, the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, that would be John, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And that is Jesus saying to Mary, "Behold John." Watch what it says here. Then he said to the disciple, that's the author of this gospel, John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, isn't that awesome? As he's crucified on the cross and going through that suffering, now that he knows all things are accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine, rotten wine actually, that had gone bad, very bitter, was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on the hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." It's one word in Greek, tetelestai. It's absolutely complete, fully complete. And bowing his head, notice, he gave up his spirit. You and I will never have the power to do that. He dismissed his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day or a special Sabbath, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him, with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. Father, we ask that this night that we have together, as we meditate on what took place before the world, we tonight remember in our worship, in the word, in our communion, and we thank you, God, for Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can take your seats. Among all the facts taking place regarding the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and let me tell you, there are some serious facts being recorded. The Gospels record the crucifixion account. The Roman government, you know, Rome ruled the world. I don't need to tell you about that. Rome ruled the world in that day, and Rome was famous for many things, but one of them is their ability to keep records. Their census keeping is still the standard for what this nation does today. They were very, very committed to keeping accurate records and accounts, and Jesus' crucifixion, according to Roman history, is an actual event. I know that some of you have been watching Discovery Channel this week and History Channel this week. I have. I don't know why. It caused my blood pressure to go up. But these, and I say this with great affection and great care and tenderness, but these buffoons who put these programs together prop up their own experts. And they give you their interpretation of how it must have really happened. And we are going to reveal in our special program tonight the secrets of the Bible and the crucifixion of Jesus. Did it really happen? And they bring out all these experts. And the interesting thing is most of them either spiritualize scripture or they're atheists. They don't believe in that stuff at all, but they're experts. And yet, did you know that tonight, if Rome was to bring back their experts, which by the way, they had them, you can read them today, authors of antiquity, eyewitness accounts of those who did not believe in Jesus Christ, who were not Jewish, but Roman. Some, by the way, some were Jewish who were turncoat historians working for the Roman Empire, all record the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus really lived. Jesus Christ really ministered in the land of Israel. The Bible just doesn't declare it. But history declares it. Secular history declares it. And tonight and this weekend, this whole week, we've been looking at what we've called love beyond measure, what God does. And on Sunday morning, we will very much drive home the power and the work of what God does. But tonight, keep this in mind, that we are looking at love beyond measure, that on this day in history, God poured out his holy wrath upon my sin. Now listen carefully to how I just said that. And I'm going to be saying my sin tonight. You can say your sin tonight too. But I want to make tonight very personal. This night marks the night that God was pouring out his wrath upon my sin. You might be saying, Jack, don't you mean upon Jesus? Yes, but listen. Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, and we'll see tonight in our brief time together, that God was pouring out his wrath because God is holy. There is no apologies offered up for God's wrath. God's wrath is not the wrath of man. Do you understand that? We have wrath when we lose control. God never loses control. God is holy, God is just, and sin must be punished. And when you talk and think and read about Jesus Christ going to the cross, the number one thing I want you to realize tonight, that love beyond measure is this kind of love, that God poured out his wrath upon my sin. Why? Because sin had to be dealt with. If you and I ever have any hope of entering heaven, this sin issue has to be dealt with. And that's what Good Friday is all about. That's why we've gathered here tonight, is that love beyond measure announces that God deals with sin. What great news is that? Guilt, shame. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, concerning Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross. He bore our sins. That word in the Greek means to take up or to heap up, listen to this, or to stack up our sins upon his own body. Think of it. Jesus is on the cross. And what's happening? Think of it in whatever form it communicates to you. But I see, as it were, someone with a great shovel, and they're shoveling coal into a furnace. Think of that. Just non-stop shoveling heaps of coal into a furnace. And you think of someone with a great shovel just scooping up sin and heaping it where? Upon the very person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, on the cross 2,000 years ago, as our sins were being heaped upon him, poured out upon him, was the wrath of God. Why? Because that wrath was due to me. That wrath was appointed to me. My sin put him there. My anger, my fears, my doubt, my pride, or my whatever. Don't look at me like that. Yours too. Love beyond measure. God poured out his wrath upon my sin in the person of Jesus. It was heaped upon him. The Bible tells us that God came in the form of human skin, human flesh. It makes perfect sense if you think about it, that we would have a mediator that would connect us to heaven, not an angel. What can an angel do? We can't relate to angels. And so God came, the Bible tells us, in the likeness or in the similitude of sinful flesh. The second thing is that it was love beyond measure that on this day in history, God exchanged my situation for his. This is remarkable to me, that God would love you and I so much, love beyond measure, that he would exchange my situation, your situation, for his. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he, God, made him, Christ, who knew no sin." The Bible says Jesus was sinless. "To be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus, sinless, gets heaped upon him my sin. And in that great moment of God going to work on the cross, you know, some people say, let's roll up our sleeves and go to work. Listen, Jesus was stripped and put on the cross. What was going on? God was going to work. God was going to work for our redemption, for our salvation. Think about it. God working to save you. That's why you and I trying to work our way into heaven is an abomination to God. What an insult to God that you would try to better what Jesus has done. Think of it. No loving parent requires their child to do some sort of work to pay the mortgage. Can you imagine putting a shovel in the hand of your two-year-old and saying, go do this, we got to pay the bills? No, that parent takes a second, third, fourth job if they have to make ends meet, to go to work. Why? To provide. God provided for us on the cross. And that provision was a great exchange. God puts upon Jesus our sins, and the righteousness of Christ, God imparts to us. And you and I in the 21st century ought to be able to relate to that more than any other generation in all of humanity, because we do a lot of transaction, don't we, with electronic banking or electronic purchasing. We move things around from the comfort of our laptop anywhere in the world. We can buy this, we can sell that, we can eBay this, we can whatever that, all sitting there, you know, and accounts are exchanged. If you and I can do that, cannot God do that based upon his power? And he makes a great exchange. He takes your sin, puts it upon himself, and takes his righteousness and hits send, and it arrives in your account in heaven. It's awesome. Thirdly, it was love beyond measure that on this day in history, God reconciled me back to himself. And I like the fact that God reconciled me back to himself. God made me. You say, well, if he made you, why didn't he do a better job? Listen, God made you too. Here's the thing. The Bible says that God made us. We are created in the image of God. And God, who loves you, reconciled through Jesus Christ, you, me, us, back to God, back to himself. He made us, but we were alienated from God because of our sins. And on this night in history, Jesus Christ was reconciling the world back to God, our maker. And I say this often, if you're visiting tonight, maybe you'll get to hear it for the first time, but you go search and see, you travel the globe, you go around the world, you get into every library you can find, read a billion books, and that's no exaggeration. If you can find a billion books, read a billion books, and you'll never find a love story as profound as this story, that God so loved you that he would do this for you and I. You can search every religion in the world, none of them offer this truth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from his series called Love Beyond Measure. It's a look at the fulfilled prophecies as well as the messianic claims and status of Jesus of Nazareth and what it means for all of us. We'll continue with more Love Beyond Measure on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. All right, now recently here on Real Radio, you may have heard us tell you about Choose Charity. And this is especially important if you're a believer who belongs to a union. And if so, you may have visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity to watch the video we told you about. Well, here's that conversation between Pastor Jack and Brad Dacus of Pacific Justice Institute.
Hey, we want to share something very exciting with you guys. And right now I have with me Brad Dacus of Pacific Justice Institute. And Brad's going to be telling us about something that can cause you and I to be better stewards in the kingdom of God and with all that God has given us. And it has to do with union and your union dues.
Right.
So Brad, tell us about this legal acceptable and really a right that every union member has to direct their funds where?
Yeah, well, to the charity that they believe in. And Pastor Jack, this is something that only 1 in 1,000 union workers are even aware of. So that's why it's so important we get out this information. Under Title VII, Federal Civil Rights Statute, they're entitled to have all of their union dues, every penny of it, all of it diverted to a charity of their choice if their union supports issues, causes, or candidates that they feel violate their beliefs and their convictions. And there's so many union workers out there who are in that situation where their union believes or supports things that they really don't believe in.
Sure.
And so so the law is there to protect them so they don't have to financially in any way support that union if it violates their beliefs and convictions. And it's so easy to do.
So you're saying it's legal, it's on the books, it's there for a union member to exercise. But let me ask you this. I've heard union members say regarding the way that they vote or the stickers on their car regarding a certain candidate, they have a little bit of fear of being intimidated or bullied by their union.
Right.
Well, how would you answer that? Would they be bullied if they chose to exercise their right?
Well, if the union is smart, they won't be bullied.
That's right.
And the reason is because Title VII, it's a part of the Civil Rights Statute. So if they're harassed, if they're bullied, then that union worker could file a lawsuit and we would represent them without charge for punitive damages.
Sure.
Against that union. And we're talking about huge damages. So unions in the past, you know, consistently, even the Teamsters Union,
yeah,
they back down because they know how powerful the Civil Rights Statute is when it comes to workers' rights.
So you're inviting Christians to exercise godly stewardship,
right,
to actually reclaim part of their union dues for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, all of their union dues, every penny for the kingdom of God. It's not just the political portion.
Goodness.
We're talking about agency fee, fair share fees, all of it.
So
diverted.
That's why a union would not want their members to know about this.
Exactly.
Even though it's their right.
Right. And then sometimes a union will say, well, it only applies to Jehovah's Witnesses. Or it only applies if you get a letter from your pastor saying you have to do this. All these kinds of weird obstacles. And that's why we created the choosecharity.org,
sure,
which makes it very easy for them to do this. And to have their dues go to a charity that they believe in, like, for example, your ministry.
Sure. But we're not being anti-union right now, right?
No. And, no. In fact, I encourage Christians, if they're part of a union and they have the position of leadership or influence or impact, you know, stay with it. Be a salt and light. It's a wonderful opportunity. We as Christians shouldn't surrender those. But if someone is a part of a union,
yeah,
that they know is supporting things that clearly go against God's,
sure,
word, choose this day who they shall serve. And the answer in that situation is to serve the Lord and then not support that union in any way, shape, or form.
So wrapping this up, you're providing a ministry opportunity, really, that's
right,
what it
without
is.
Without charge, completely.
Without charge to be good stewardships over,
right,
the funds that God has given us and redirect those for the kingdom of God, all of this at the fingertips of a union member.
Right.
And
right,
it's completely legal.
Right, and we make it very easy. Very, very easy.
This is awesome news, you guys. So listen, this great organization, Pacific Justice Institute, they are allowing you to participate in this. And so we encourage you to do this, quite frankly, to get the word of God out, to advance the kingdom of God. That's what we're all about here.
Right.
And you can do that by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. And every penny that you would direct in that way would go to advancing the gospel. It's not going to go to me. It's not going to go to anybody else. It's going to go to getting the word of,
right,
God out. What a great opportunity.
Right.
Thank you for being on the front line and taking care of that for us.
My pleasure. You keep up the great work, Jack.
Awesome. We'll
appreciate
do it together.
It.
God bless.
You got it.
Wow. Great news indeed. Again, we've made things pretty quick and simple for Real Radio listeners. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. Remember, this is your right, and it's really easy to get started. reallifewithjackhibbs.org/choosecharity. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.